Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Today's guest, Judd Garrett, author of No Wind, going to have his latest 18 Inches of Daylight. And in the second hour, Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, his latest including Food Fight. Can you guess what the left is now calling racist? Wow. Well, in the news, embattled President Biden has been hampered by political opponents over the blotched troop exit from Afghanistan that allowed the Taliban to seize control. But something more concerning for the Democratic administration happened along the way. It lost the mainstream media. Mainstream corporate media outlets have long earned their reputation of leaning left, often overlooking potential damning headlines aimed at Biden while criticizing conservatives at every turn. But some of the media industry's most outspoken liberal pundits and progressive news organizations have taken Biden to task over scenes of chaos and desperation as the Islamic terrorist group takes power. CNN's Jack Taper opened Sunday's edition of State of the Union by calling the situation a tragic foreign policy disaster that caught the Biden White House flat-footed. Well, Mr. Biden will be speaking later this afternoon and see who he'll blame and blah, blah, blah. By the way, former CIA Director Dave Petraeus has warned that Democrat Biden's disastrous handling of Afghanistan has created a catastrophic security situation. The retired Army General says the rapidly deteriorating situation is not only devastating for the United States, but the whole world. Well, the death toll from the 7.2 magnitude earthquake in Haiti climbed to 1,297 yesterday, a day after the powerful trembler turned thousands of structures into rubble, set off frenetic rescue efforts ahead of a potential deluge from an approaching tropical storm. Saturday's earthquake also left at least 5,700 people injured in the Caribbean nation, with thousands more displaced from their destroyed or damaged homes. Survivors in some areas were forced to wait out in the open amid oppressive heat for help from overloaded hospitals. Yet the devastation could soon worsen with the coming of Tropical Depression Grace, which is predicted to reach Haiti tonight. The U.S. National Hurricane Center demoted the tropical storm to a depression Sunday, but forecasters warn that regardless, Grace still poses a threat to bring heavy rain, flooding, and landslides. The earthquake struck the southwestern part of the hemisphere's poorest nation, almost razing some towns and triggering landslides and hampered rescue efforts in a country already grappling with a coronavirus pandemic, a presidential assassination, and a wave of gang violence. The epic center was about 125 kilometers, that's 78 miles west of the capital of Port-au-Prince, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. What a federal judge called a losing argument still came out the winner last Friday, giving the Biden administration the win on a round in court and allowing to keep its eviction moratorium in place. A ban on evictions was among the COVID-19 relief measures passed in the spring of 2020 when lockdowns led to employers closing their doors, leaving millions unable to pay the rent. Since then, the economy has largely reopened and long-term unemployment has lessened. However, the administration sought to continue the moratorium. That hope was dashed when the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in June that without any action in part on Congress, the moratorium in effect last month ended July 31st. Although President Joe Biden said he was uncertain his administration was on solid legal grounds, it went ahead last week with a new moratorium that will last through October 3rd. His logic was that even if the administration lost, the moratorium would last long enough to allow some of the more than $45 billion in rental assistance that has been approved by Congress to get distributed to renters, who in theory would then pay their long overdue rent, according to the AP. A group of Alabama landlords challenged the new moratorium in court, but lost the first round of their case in a decision issued Friday by U.S. District Judge Dabney Frederick, who said her hands are tied. Her ruling said the moratorium was really nothing new, meaning she was not free to rule on its merits alone. Quote, because the current moratorium is an extension, it is subject to the stay and can be challenged in this action. Even so, the law of the case doctrine prevents the court from lifting the stay, and therefore the court will deny the plaintiff's motion. That's what she wrote in her ruling. But we'll see what happens. So how do the landlords get paid? When does that happen? She then sent landlords helping to seek another court, quote, to lift the stay, the plaintiffs must accordingly seek relief before the D.C. Circuit. All right. Well, you know about Cuomo announcing that he's going to resign, right? He says he'll resign by August 24th in the ledge of the Wake reporting, alleging serial sexual harassment. Now, Cuomo, of course, did not take responsibility for the charges, but added that the New York State government would not be able to focus on the COVID-19 pandemic if he remained in office. And Cuomo claimed that he meant to be enduring and was joking in his interactions with women, but that he did not sexually harass them. I cannot be the cause of that, he said. I love New York, and I love you. Cuomo refused to admit, of course, any wrongdoing, despite the fact that Attorney General Letitia James' report found that he had sexually harassed 11 women, including a state trooper assigned to his protective detail. Instead, he blamed a changing culture and politicians that were anxious to take him down. Last June, the Trump-hating reporters who always wanted to underline that then-President Donald Trump was almost traditionally soft on Russia banged a can about a New York Times story headlined, Russia secretly offered Afghanistan militant bounties to kill U.S. troops, intelligence says. Well, now the liberal Daily Beast website is offering a jaw-dropping assessment. Quote, it was a huge election time story that prompted cries of treason. But according to a newly disclosed assessment, Donald Trump might have been right to call it a hoax. Story begins with anonymous government sources and is now rebutted by anonymous government sources. Quote, the Biden administration announced that U.S. intelligence only had low to moderate confidence in a story after all, it read. Translated from the jargon of spy world, that means the intelligence agencies have found the story is, at best, unproven and possibly untrue. And according to officials on a phone call, the reporting about the alleged bounties came from a detainee reporting, meaning a detainee may have provided intel to gain release. Specifically, the official cited information and evidence of connections to criminal agents in Afghanistan and elements of Russian government's as sources for the intelligence community's assessment, according to the Daily Beast. It compared this to Iban Sheikh Aliba, a source who claimed he knew about Saddam Hussein's training of al-Qaeda to make poison gas. U.S. Today Fast Check explained, interrogations of militants and criminals in Afghanistan were the basis for the U.S. intelligence assessment. If Hillary Clinton had been president, the liberal papers and networks would have said, you can't allow militants and criminals to accuse the president of treason. Every patriotic America wants our government to be vigilant against any malignant actors who, put bounties on the heads of our troops. But this was a political narrative during an election year. The group Vote Vets, that was the group, they put out nasty ads saying, Benedict Donald is America's number one traitor. And MSNBC host Joe Scarborough, he tweeted as the Times story broke, today we learn that Russia is playing Islamic radical bounties to kill U.S. troops. Trump has known about this but refuses to do anything. It's all beyond the pale. Joe Scarborough. Hemingway also reported last July that Representative Adam Schiff learned of the bounty allegations on a congressional trip to Afghanistan in February 2020 And little Adam Schiff didn't share them. When asked whether that was true, he claimed, "I cannot comment on Pacifics." Where's my China doll? No, he didn't say that. "I cannot comment on my Pacifics," or on Pacifics, yes. But the Trump inexcusably did nothing. Talking points was routine in liberal media. Well, the reactical bombing went on for weeks. July 29th, MSNBC host Joy Reid blasted Trump as being grotesque Putin and claimed he and the GOP were guilty of a complete abdication of leadership. Steve Schmidt of the Lincoln Project added, quote, "We have a faithless commander-in-chief. The commander is so amoral that he does not have the backs of the men and women that he sends into harm's way. This is a despicable and cowardly betrayal of the ethos of the United States military." This whole controversy, should be a reason for media consumers to be super skeptical of any bombshell story that's based on anonymous sources in government or politics. News stories that drive partisans to charge a president with treason, Republican or Democrat, ought to be based on more than just shadowy administrative officials. We don't need this much darkness in our democracy. You know, and you can go back to Representative Adam Schiff. My goodness, the guy will never give up. Well, the Biden administration's infrastructure bill is one of the most controversial in recent history. Currently backed by almost all Democratic leaders and 18 Senate Republicans, it's a massive multi-trillion dollar spending package, and many right-wing politicos are worried that it includes far too much pork and not enough actual infrastructure. Now it seems they've just found a little Democrat goody that nobody's talking about. Included in the legislation are things like Digit Equity Act, which would expand broadband to communities that don't have internet access. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Many Republicans say there are additional bonuses for blue states, and the legislation further prioritizes unregistered residents over U.S. citizens. And as far as this bill is concerned, it seems they might be correct on both points. If you live in a state that settles a larger number of foreign travelers, your state could be in line for more federal funding. It was sort of slipped into the aforementioned Digital Equity Act. Breitbart says, slipped into the legislation are provisions allocating federal funding based on the number of newly arrived immigrants into the state or region, a design that rewards blue states who tend to have the largest foreign-born populations in the nation. The Department of Commerce will set up a grant program for states to help with a broadband expansion, but there will be a formula to determine how much each state gets, and 25% of the total amount will involve the percentage of members of covered populations. I almost said covered political people, yes. And that is significant because those considered part of the covered populations, that's a state with grant money, would be tied to, depending on how large this group is, newly arrived immigrants to the U.S. who speak little to no English. All right. Hey, coming up next, Judd Garrett. And I want to remind you, tomorrow, Frank Venuccio, China's dangerous future plans, and Kelly Nelson with her absolutely latest blockbuster. Be right back.
It's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Jodie Comer plays a daredevil avatar in a video game who wants to enlist a supporting character, Ryan Reynolds, in a desperate effort to save their fantasy world in Free Guy. Now playing in theaters everywhere.
This world, it's a video game. We need you to be the good guy.
I'm not going to be the good guy. I'm going to be the great guy.
Okay.
And this turns out to be an unexpectedly great movie. Full of clever twists and inside jokes, the special effects are spectacular, bringing to life this parallel universe controlled by game players in the real world, where the goofy, good-natured free guy insists on taking an independent role. Rated PG-13 for scenes of danger and destruction, and too complicated for small children to follow, Free Guy is nonetheless enchanting entertainment that can reach even those of us who don't much care about video games. 3.5 stars for the surprising and satisfying Free Guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. Did you know withdrawing your cash from the bank can be very risky? That's right. So please listen up. Are you aware that banks are now required to spy on us for the government and then report any behavior they think is suspicious? It's true. I was shocked as I read Swiss America's blockbuster report, The Secret War on Cash. This new war against cash is really a war against all freedom-loving Americans. Listen to me. You must read The Secret War on Cash. Now get your free copy by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. Or visit SwissAmerica.com. This war on cash is growing daily and also includes all forms of digital money. So please, get ahead, read The Secret War on Cash free to every Robert Dobby fan today by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. And then you'll thank me later.
Columbo's, since 1954, has been serving up fine dining in a relaxing atmosphere and all at an affordable price. Columbo's is still doing something right. It's why so many travel from the West Side and the Valleys to experience and enjoy what Eagle Rock has known for years. Columbo's is truly something special. Columbo's serves up some of the most succulent, delicious steaks, as well as outstanding seafood offerings in all of Southern California. And the Columbo family's Italian specialties are worth the trip from anywhere. Columbo's is a memory maker. Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. 323-254-9138. 323-254-9138. Columbo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club. Serving up fine dining and a relaxing atmosphere and all at an affordable price. Columbo's, of course.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, and once again, my privilege to have the one and only Judd Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T, former NFL player, coach, and executive, frequent contributor to the website Real Clear Politics, and he's recently published his first novel, No Wind, and I want you to remember his website where you can read all his excellent stories. I got it. Well, it's Objectivity is the Objective. .com. And I'll tell you, it's so important to know that because, and I'll tell you in a moment, hey, Judd, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you doing? How'd the surgery end up?
You know, I had some eye surgery, right? And it was the second time I've done it. And this time, it didn't turn out that good. pardon me.
Sorry.
Well, I mean, you know, I can see, but I've got to go back in tomorrow and they'll do the whole checkup and all that stuff. But anyway, a lot of pain this time. The last time, I had no pain at all. So, anyway, I've been fighting it, and one eye's good, so that's good. And let's see here. Ud,
I'm praying for you. So.
Thank you, sir. I said, hey, Ud, my eye's great. Oh, there's a J-U there. Thank you, yes. I got to tell you, when I first started, I said, okay, Judd's going to be on. Let's see. This is a fantastic Olympic story entitled Beyond Ourselves. And then the next thing you know, here's another one pops up. Is it Robespierre? Robespierre. And I said, oh, my goodness, another great one. Well, now we got 18 inches of daylight, and we might touch on Robespierre or one of those others if we get through this one in time. All right. But, man, okay. You have turned out some blockbusters. And that's why they should know about Objectivity is the Objective.com. 18 inches of daylight. Now, Judd, of course, former professional football player, Dallas Cowboys, when they won the championship, you know, and he knows about football. And he happens to mention running back Gale Sayers. How would Gale Sayers tie in with 18 inches of daylight? Pretty interesting. Take it away there, Judd.
Well, that was his motto. Give me 18 inches of daylight. That's all I need. That's what he used to say. And you know, as a former running back, I usually needed a lot more than 18 inches. But you know, he was so good that 18 inches is all he needed. And it kind of struck me because, you know, looking at what's going on, I recently saw that Apple is going to start scanning our phones and iPads to see if there's any photos of any sexually explicit, you know, pictures of children.
Right. And protect the children.
To
yes,
me,
okay.
To me, that's their 18 inches of daylight. You know, we would all agree to that. Hey, let's try to catch these child pornographers. Let's try to do what we can to stop these people that hurt children. And we give them that little crack, that little 18 inches of daylight, and then what they're going to do is they're going to run through it like Gale Sayers used to run through those 18 inches of daylight when he was playing football. And next thing you know, they're going to be going through our phones and they're going to be alerting the authorities if we happen to, you know, text the wrong political opinion or
right.
or whatever. It always happens. You give them a little bit of a crack to get that foot in the door, and then they just take advantage of it and exploit it. And next thing you know, they're, you know, we've lost all of our rights. And
yeah,
that's,
as you say,
basically,
I was going to say, as you say in this article, see, and they always have a little hanger on there, see, because if you're against, you know, Apple going into your phone and making sure, you know, that there's not any pornography of children, that must, if you're against it, that must mean you're for child pornography, right? And they always have that after they get the 18 inches. It's always like, well, if you're not for this, then what's wrong with you? So then we can go to another one you talk about, the Patriot Act. The Patriotic Act, right?
Yeah, Patriot, I mean, it's the same deal. We agreed to allow the United the government and our intelligence agency to have a lot of ability to start, you know, tracking down, you know, terrorists after the 9/11
right.
attack. I mean,
we were all
shocked and stunned by 9/11, and we gave them that power, and they used it appropriately for a while. The next thing you know, they took that power to, you know, surveil people, and they started applying it to the citizens.
Okay, hold it right there, Judd, because we're on our break here. And what could be bad about tracking down terrorists, right? Yeah. Well, we'll expand a little more on that with more from Judd Garrett and the author of No Wind, the website, objectivityistheobjective.com. Be right back.
Tired of lockdown? Let the reconnect begin. You belong here. Welcome home to the magic of Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante in Fullerton, California. Check out our new spacious outdoor dining alfresco. Romantic, market lights. It looks like a movie set. Dine under the stars and enjoy our tasty Angelo's and Vinci's pizza, pasta, seafood, chicken, salad dinners, and more. In the cool of the evening, come enjoy our award-winning menu, new wine list, specialty cocktails, like our Peach Bellini Martini, appetizers, and more. Angelo's and Vinci's now open every day from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. for relaxing outdoor dining. No reservations needed. Just come on in for delicious Italian food. Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton. Call 714-879-4022. We're going to need a lot of pasta to get through this year. Come to Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton today.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest Judd Garrett, author of No Wind, discussing one of his articles, 18 Inches of Daylight. All right, there you go. And we're talking about, you know, you give them an inch and whatever, sort of like they'll take a mile. The Patriot Act. So we're going to track down those terrorists, right? And then they find out how easy it is to track down citizens without a warrant or anything else, right, Judd?
Exactly, and you know, I'll admit it myself. When they talked about the Patriot Act and they first passed it, I was for it. I mean, I was so shocked by what happened on 9/11 that I didn't want that to happen ever again. So, I mean, I was willing to agree to give the government that power. But as you look at it, here we are almost 20 years later, and that power we gave them, you know, wasn't only used to stop terrorism, it was used against American citizens. And that's not what we gave it for them. But that Patriot Act gave them that 18 inches of daylight that they ran through, and now they want to, you know, they want to surveil American citizens.
And what about a warrant. This, yes. What about this next example to show you what can happen?
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, yeah. I brought up abortion. I mean, the initial argument for abortion was we want to, you know, for women in dire life circumstances, you know, they became pregnant due to rape or incest, or a pregnant woman, you know, who was, you know, the pregnancy was endangering her life.
Right.
So let's have an abortion for those cases. That was the initial argument. Abortion becomes legal. And what do you get? Well, 98% of the abortions in our country, and they're almost a million every year, 98% of them have nothing to do with rape, incest, or life of the mother. It's all a form of birth control, which is what the leftists wanted to begin with. They were only using those women who are in dire life circumstances as a foot in the door so they could break through and get abortion to be used basically as birth control.
So here we go, another simple step from Apple, scanning your phone for child pornography, to the government scanning your phone for wrong political opinions. And then, after January 6th, another kind of good example of what can happen, right?
Yeah, I mean, the government is going to do whatever they can to track us. So after January 6th, what happened? Bank of America, which is a private company, turned over private financial records of its customers to the intelligence agencies because they wanted to track everybody who was in D.C. that day. So a lot of people who were in D.C. that had nothing to do with what happened on January 6th, they were being tracked by the federal government thanks to private company Bank of America turning over private records. So, again, the government's always going to give them a little crack. They're going to burst right through it, and they're going to exploit it all the time to take away our liberties, to take away our privacy, all of that.
You know, and as Judd Garrett says, the Biden administration has redefined the word terrorist, so they now include American citizens, so they can, spy on political opponents. And you hear them, labeling, like, domestic terrorism, the biggest threat in America. That's like they're 18 inches, right?
Exactly. Now it's what they've done is we put in all these surveillance mechanisms to go after international terrorists, and now Biden is saying, well, actually the biggest threat is domestic terrorists, meaning U.S. Yeah. citizens. And now we're going to take that apparatus to go after that was put in place to go after international terrorists, and we're going to turn it on American citizens. So we gave them that power a while ago, and now they're using it against us. And we got to be very careful about giving these people power because they're always going to abuse it.
And you know what is amazing is that this is not the first time. And when I say the first time, I'm not talking about, well, maybe it happened under Bush. Well, you have this here where we can go all the way back to 1917.
Yeah, the NSA was started in 1917. Again, it was started as a way to spy on Germany during World War II, so we could decipher their encrypted messages that they were sending through telegraphs and all
and
that.
By the way, I'll just correct you real quick. It was World War I. They go by so fast, you know. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
But that puts it in perspective.
Again,
yeah.
Go ahead. It makes sense to do that. We want to spy on our enemies during a war. I mean, that's the way you win the war.
Yeah.
So we set that up, and next thing you know, it grows and grows. And 1952, it becomes part of the Department of Defense, and they got even bigger and bigger. And then, as we found out in 2013. Through Edward Snowden, that
right.
The United States have been tracking our communications, tracking the metadata on our cell phones. They're tracking all of our American citizens. They're storing all that data, and they can use it against us. So once again, mm-hmm. It starts small, and then it becomes real big.
And, listener, Edward Snowden, okay? See, he hasn't been raided at 6 a.m. in the morning, while his wife's taking a shower. Like, what's his name, Rogers, or what was his name? Goodness. Anyway.
Roger Stone.
Roger, yeah, there you go. I was putting the first name last name first. Anyway, and the reason they can't do it is because, he's out of CNN's reach. He's in another country, see. But they'd love to get him because he's also telling the truth. So, this is terrible. The Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, that came out in 1978.
Yeah, it's the same thing that was put in place. We wanted to go after, it's always set up to go after the foreigners, you know, anybody who could be a threat to us. So foreign intelligence agencies, you know, foreign powers, you know, any type of spies. We set this up to track those people. And then what do you know is in 2016, 2017, Obama's FBI, his intelligence agency, used the FISA warrants and the FISA courts to spy on Trump's campaign, to spy on his transition, and basically just to spy on the first few months of his presidency. So again, these agencies that are set up, the power that we give them, designed for one thing, is turned on American citizens. And we got to be very careful.
Yeah.
Like I said before, we got to be very careful giving these people this type of power, because it's always going to be turned against the citizens.
And it kind of sounds good sometimes. Let's talk about this one that you mentioned. The infrastructure bill, the brand new infrastructure bill. Yes, this is, well, don't worry. One little thing we're going to do, and how could you be against this? All new cars will be equipped with alcohol monitors. What? Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, they want to put alcohol monitors in the car that's going to be monitored by the government. And obviously, you know, there are 10,000 drunk driving deaths a year. So, yeah, we want to do something to prevent those deaths. So
there's your 18 inches. Yes.
That's a waste of life, you know. So we're going to put these devices in your car to monitor whether you're drinking alcohol or intoxicated. You know, the thing that struck me is that there already are devices that you can put in cars that they're like breathalyzed, that you blow into it, and if you blow high enough, the car won't start. But those aren't monitored by the government. They want the ones that are monitored by the government. Mm-hmm. So that tells me that they're not real interested about stopping, you know, drunk driving deaths. They're interested in getting a monitoring device in your car so they can track where you're going, and then eventually they're going to be listening to everything that you say in your car, and again, to be used against you. So again, just there's a list down the line of things that the government does under the guise of doing something good, and it ends up being turned against the citizens.
You know what, Judd, and this time they're not really hanging around unless, you know, they figure there's a lot of dummies that don't catch on. But not only with the alcohol tester, but also, it's part of the bill. You know, they're going to measure how many miles you go, and whenever you drive your car, and then you'll be taxed on that. See, and then that'll go into the cities to help pay for buses and trains and stuff like that. You know, so see, and people say, "Wow," but the thing they got hooked up on you is going to be able to track wherever you are all the time. And, well, what's wrong with that? We're not doing anything wrong. Well, if all of a sudden they classify you as an American terrorist because you love Trump, you kiss the Trump flag and you kiss the American flag, well, maybe you should worry about things like that. I mean, some of this stuff sounds, you know, especially about, you know, you can't start the car, you know, unless you breathe into the meter. That's great. And you can go back to the abortion. You know, why should she have to have a baby because she was raped or it was incest? It's the 18 inches that Judd talks about. And I'm telling you, this is one of the best ones you've done. I lie. Every one of them seems to be the best.
It's, thanks.
Yeah. But it's just, you know, they don't care about, like you say, the drunk driving deaths. All right? Right? They just want to know where your car and track you everywhere you go. And I think the people that are really going to be complaining are going to be the truck drivers. That's going to be an interesting to see how strong that union is.
Yeah, I mean, no question about it. I mean, again, like I said before, they don't care about the initial reasoning why they're doing something. They care more about being able to invade your privacy, track you, follow you, and use that information against you. And you were talking about earlier about, you know, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, what's wrong with people tracking you? Well,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You should have a level of privacy. You should have a level of guaranteed privacy in your life. And even if you're in your car, we don't want somebody listening into your conversations or tracking you that way. That's just an invasion of privacy. That's part of of being an American citizen is that, you know, your own personal privacy and private property, that's part of being an American.
Well, and your closing thing, you know, this is what totalitarians do. They act like totalitarians. It's in their DNA. They're always at the door. They're always looking for cracks and openings to exploit so they can act like totalitarians. They're always the ones arguing for the power to infringe on your rights to suspend the Constitution for your own good or in the name of greater good. But be careful, as Judd says, because once they take your rights, you're never going to get them back. Wow. Absolutely fantastic. Well, let's turn to this little guy that I have a hard time pronouncing his name, but it's almost like an extension of give me 18 inches, isn't it?
Yeah, well, Robespierre, it's similar. You know, he was one of the leaders of the French Revolution, and there were a lot of bad things going on in France that led up to the French Revolution. And one of the main things was that King Louis XVI was using the Bastille, which was a jail, and he was torturing and murdering his political opponents, and that was outraging many of the people. And that was one of the reasons why the people revolted and overthrew the kings. And Robespierre was this guy named Maximilien Robespierre. He was a lawyer, but he was one of the leaders of the revolution. Mm-hmm. And soon as when they took over, he became the head of the Committee of Public Safety in France, and he was the one that orchestrated the Reign of Terror, which killed over 17,000 citizens, mainly in the Bastille. So basically, he ended up doing everything that King Louis was doing, but even worse.
Yeah, he did 17,000. Yeah, 17,000 citizens killed in 1 year, just 1 year. Yes,
which was so much more than the king ever did. And I'm not arguing for the king, but you know, these revolutionaries always become what they revolted against. You know, they assume. And you know, if you read Animal Farm, that's what happened. You know, the pigs were the ones that led the revolution against the farmers, and in the end, the pigs ended up acting exactly like the farmers did. So, and it just plays itself out, whether you're talking about, you know, the Russian Revolution and the Bolsheviks, you know, they overthrew the czars because the czars, you know, didn't treat the peasants the right way and abused them. And then, you know, the communists, when they finally took over, they ended up murdering millions of peasants and the workers.
Right.
So they did the exact same thing that the czars were doing, and the list goes on and on, but it always ends up the same.
Rwanda, they had the same problem, 1960. You know, and more recently, 1993, after a 45-year fight, South Africa finally freed itself from the apartheid government that denied equal rights to many of its citizens based on skin color. Boy, I'm glad they overturned it, because they can't base anything on skin color. Can they? No. But what's going on there now?
Well, basically, the people who had been oppressed through apartheid, they're running the country right now. And what have they done? They've implemented some rules. They've seized the property of white people, just solely because they're white, and they're preventing white people from owning land in South Africa. So basically, the apartheid system, which gave people rights or denied people rights based on skin color, is being implemented. They're just reversing the skin color. Now, the black people have all the rights and the white people don't. So it's the same thing.
All right, Judd, going to take that break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a former president. Yes, how does he tie into this story? We'll see. Judd Garrett, his novel is entitled No Wind. His best place to get all these great stories, all right? Here it is, the website, objectivityistheobjective.com. Objectivityistheobjective.com. We'll be right back.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flare, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef, broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at RuthsChris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by Abbvie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest Judd Garrett, graduate Princeton University, former NFL player, coach, and executive. He's been a contributor to the website Real Clear Politics and has recently published his first novel, No Wind. And I got to tell you real quick before we close up on this one, the one you did on the 11th of this month, Beyond Ourselves. Listeners, go to the website that I keep giving you and read that one because it's about the Olympics. And it is fantastic, absolutely. So who was this ex-president that all of a sudden burst on the scene or something? Or I guess at the time he burst, he became the president, yes. What was his name, Obama?
Yeah, his name was Barack Obama from Chicago. He's a Harvard-educated lawyer. And, you know, in the early 2000s, he burst on the scene. And I'll admit, I mean, I was intrigued by him. You know, he was very articulate and all that. But, he was the guy that brought, you know, fighting for the little guy, the class warfare. You know, he said to the wealthy people, at a certain point, you've made enough money. He said the billionaires and millionaires were not paying their fair share of taxes. He was a big supporter of Occupy Wall Street and all that. So, you know, he was for the little guy. He was for the downtrodden guy. He was against the affluent and the wealthy, and that's how he came on the scene. That's how he ascended to the presidency. And now here we are, you know, 15 years later, and, you know, he's become what he was railing against when he first hit the scene. He's become the one percenter. He's become the fat cat. He's building this gigantic not even a presidential library in Chicago. He's building a presidential center, and he chose one of the most affluent areas in Chicago to build it in, a place called Jackson Park. He didn't choose maybe an ethnically or economically diverse area where you put it. You put a big center like that in maybe a part of the town that's struggling economically. You're gonna invigorate that economy. You're gonna bring a lot of money into that economy, and you'll help those people out who are struggling. He didn't choose to do that. He went to the rich. He went to the wealthy, and he's become what he initially was fighting against. And the other example is, you know, the 3-day, 400-plus guest birthday party, you know, at his $12 million estate in Martha's Vineyard. I mean, if that's not an example of him being, you know, the elite, the wealthy, the fat cat, you know, nothing else is.
As we're almost out of time, I guess what it is, if you touch him, you can't catch COVID, okay? That's one thing. Everything is different, see, whenever you're the peasants. And you know the amazing thing that I find is how these rich people, okay, and these people that preach to us build this mansion that they live in right next to the ocean. Now, you know when all the ice melts, you're going to drown, right, because of global warming. I mean, that's what you keep telling us, and that's the whole new Green Deal and this whole new infrastructure. It's all because global warming is going to kill us in 10 years or 12 years. Oh, let's move it on now, another 10 years. Oh, 12 years. After a while, you catch on no matter who you are. You know, even I caught on. I mean, there's your perfect example there, Judd. If they want to get a copy of the book, where's the best place to go?
Just go on Amazon, type in Judd Garrett, No Wind, and it'll pop right up, and they'll get a book out to you in a day or two.
All right. Judd Garrett, J-U-D-D, Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T. And the website is objectivityistheobjective.com. Look forward to our next visit. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, is right around the corner. Yes. I had a funny feeling that I was hearing that little Duke trying to escape there before I even told you that this is CRN Digital Talk, Chuck Wilder and Nick at the studio. And when you hear that, you know it's the one and only Selwyn Duke, writer for New America, and also contributor to college textbooks published by Gale Sinage Learning, and his website, selwynduke.com. Are you there, sir, Duke?
I certainly am, Chuck, except I can't roll my R's the way you do. I have to admit that.
Now, we have a new guy on the board there, and at least he's got the music, right? So that's good. But normally we say, well, let's see, this is and that was, and next we meet, and then we talk about the guy, and then all of a sudden the theme song comes on. And I'll just tell him right now, because we're having a communication problem, that we also play that as the opening music at the bottom of the hour, okay? So we get it twice there, Duke, in case people want to tape it and listen to it. And, yeah, that's the way it runs there. So how are you doing, sir?
You know, I'm doing okay, Chuck. And, you know, variety is the spice of life, so we change things up a little bit. And I'm doing great, Chuck. Here's the thing. I also just had a realization, and I'm going to share this with everyone. You know, a lot of people, Chuck, are talking about how they're worried about the Bidenites, the Biden administration, visiting tyranny upon us, mask mandates, maybe vaccination mandates. But I have the solution, Chuck. It's foolproof. All we have to do when they come for us is we dress like Afghans and the Bidenites will run away.
That'll work. I think that'll work. Yeah.
We know that now.
Yeah, you know, you hear me cuss. I said, damn, you know, I just got a haircut just recently. I should have just let it keep on going there, right? Yes, and a long beard.
I was going to say, you need the beard, you need the long flowing garment, just look like the Taliban, and Biden will be gone, all his underlings will be gone, Nancy Pelosi will just issue a statement, just please respect women's rights, whatever you do, but we're not coming back, don't worry about us.
You know, you kept saying be gone, and Nancy Pelosi, and you didn't say we'll be gone. No, thanks a lot. Hey, by the way, you know how people rush to celebrate whatever occasion is coming up, this might be good news because of what you're talking about, because Halloween, right around the corner. See, and you know how they can't wait? They'll have the Christmas trees in, you know, 3 months before Christmas. So already they're putting the stuff out for Halloween. So maybe the Taliban might be a big seller. Hint, hint, yes.
The Taliban costume, yes. I mean, I know that the left-wingers are going to say that's cultural appropriation, but at the same time, they're going to be running away in fear, so who cares?
Yeah, we can just say, well, we're just doing our whatever it is, race theory. Yes, we're incorporating the Taliban into it. I want to get to one of your articles here, okay? You're just like so many guests I have. You know, I say, oh, boy, this is a good one. And I can go back whatever date this was. Why every functional society needs the fear of God. Guess what? We won't get to that one because that was a long time ago. All right. Food fight. Food fight. Can you guess what the left is now calling racist when it comes to a food fight? Mashed potatoes or French fries? I would say it's going to be the one on this one. One of them's got to be the evil one, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. French well, you know, Chuck...
Yeah,
we know the left is trying to cancel anything and everything. I mean, we've been told that teaching math is something that reflects white supremacy, and you can't use the word niggardly, which means cheap. And what else do we have? Oh, yeah, you can't use the term black hole because that's supposed to be racist, and it just goes on and on and on. Well, this is in the same vein, and it might seem like a minor thing. The problem is that it reflects that larger issue of cancel culture and the complete and total erasure of our culture. Well, anyway, what's at issue here is that a couple of leftists want the term curry, as in chicken curry or lamb curry, to be basically canceled. And here's the story. One of them said that it's rooted in, quote, white Christian supremacy, the term curry, if you can imagine that. Well, how did this all get started, this hot and spicy debate? Well, the Indian Express reported on it, and what they said is that in a viral Instagram post, there was this Indian-American blogger. Her name is Chahedi Bansal, and she, Chuck, quote, called on people to cancel the word curry. And what she says is that it's been misused by white people to name any dish made in India. I'm quoting this Indian Express again, quote, stating that one can still unlearn, she said. There's a saying that the food in India changes every 100 kilometers, and yet we're still using this umbrella term popularized by white people who couldn't be bothered to learn the actual names of our dishes. So, Chuck, how dare you if you ever ate Indian food, but you didn't know everything about the culture of India and the origin of that food and the original names of it? If you did that, I guess shame on you. But, you know, it's funny. I'm writing about this, and again, it's just so nonsensical, and it reflects that deeper issue of the complete undermining of our culture. And, you know, this woman says, well, the food in India changes every 100 kilometers. And I point out, okay, well, if you want to think about things that way, that you shouldn't have a blanket term for something that's going to change every 100 kilometers. Well, I said, well, in India, they have more than 250 different languages and dialects. So maybe we could say the culture in India changes every 100 kilometers, too. So should we really refer to the whole place as India? But this even gets worse. This gets worse, their claims. According to Bansal, this is Culture Watch I'm quoting now, the word curry is believed to be an anglicized, a.k.a. made more English-sounding, interpretation of the Tamil word kari, K-A-R-I. So anyway, the whole idea is that the English people who picked up on that were just too sloppy to get the word right, and they had to conjure up their own word. Well, we might say, what does all this really matter? I said before, it reflects a deeper issue. Well, understand that Bunsal's video, Chuck, had been viewed or has been viewed more than 3 million times. And not only this, believe it or not, a college professor decided to get in on the act and tag team with her. Can you imagine that? A college professor doing something silly and politically correct? This is one Elise, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, R. Morgenstein Fuerst.
Wow, wait anyway, a minute. How long is that name? Elise R. Morgenstein Fuerst, or second or third. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, Fuerst. And as I said, she clearly appropriates way too many words in her name, if you want to talk about word conservation. But she's an associate professor of religious studies at the University of Vermont, so clearly she's an expert on world cuisines. And here's what she says about the term curry. She had to weigh in. This is also a Culture Watch that I'm quoting. Quote, "The word is rooted in white Christian supremacy because, to her knowledge, the word curry doesn't actually exist in any South Asian language and is a word that most historians attribute to a bad British ear." The religious studies professor claims that Indians catered to the palates of European colonizers. "They wanted food that was spiced, but not too much," the professor said, "fragrant, but not smelly." She continued, "And that lack of temperance in our food or in our emotionality is a problem. That's one of the things that is rooted in white Christian supremacy. Oh, I hope you never enjoy that curry again." Well, you know, Chuck, I pointed out in the article that actually, believe it or not, I've been to India. I was there many years ago, and I've been to countless Indian restaurants, and I've even cooked Indian food. And I know well that not every Indian dish is a curry. And I also mentioned, you know, I value language precision and learning knowledge. So if these two women just wanted to impart greater knowledge in their chosen field, that would be great. And I also, you know, I love smelly, spicy food.
Yep.
But here's what I can't tolerate. I can't tolerate the stink of unintellectual agitation, and that's what this is. This criticism is rooted in anti-Western, anti-white prejudice, Chuck, because what these curry crusaders are doing is they're holding the targets of their ire, namely Westerners, white people, to a standard that they wouldn't apply to anyone else. In fact, what they're essentially saying, Chuck, is that white people have no right to a culture. And I'll tell you what I mean. First of all, they didn't mention this specifically, but if we're going to talk about cultural appropriation, you know, cultural appropriation, well, what is that? It's something that everyone does. I mean, businessmen in Asia and elsewhere, what do they wear very often? They wear suits and ties, and that type of sartorial splendor, if you want to call it that, comes from the West. That's where it originated. The whole world embraces our food and drink, hamburgers, hot dogs, Coke, you name it. And what about our technology? That's everywhere. Without that, all these anti-Western kvetchers wouldn't be able to be on the computer complaining about the West, right? So cultural appropriation, I point this out in my article, Chuck, is more rightly known as something else, normal human exchange. It's people taking the best, hopefully, from each other to create something that hopefully is better still. And that's a prerequisite for advanced civilization and culture. I mean, without people sharing what they've originated, two heads are better than one, you don't have civilization. And I'm not going to get too deeply into that, but I know Thomas Sowell wrote about that in one of his books. And then what about this notion, Chuck, that curry doesn't exist in any South Asian language? Well, roll this around your mind a little bit. Les États Unis and Estados Unidos, and I did take some French in school, don't exist in English, but guess what? That's still how the French and the Spanish reference the United States. And in China, in Japan, and many other nations, Chuck, they don't call hamburgers just that, but why do they do? They have their own terms, right? What about French fries? Well, they're called French fries because they possibly originated in France or maybe Belgium. But in Britain, they're called chips. And in France, where I've also been, they're called pommes frites, which means apples fried. Okay, so should we institute some kind of world commission on name rectitude to establish universal terms for everything, Chuck, and punish transgressors? Should we do that? Well, you know, one good thing about that, Chuck, is that at least that would apply to everyone. But that's not what's happening right now. What's happening right now is that Westerners, white people, and only white people are impugned for exhibiting the same cultural limitations as everybody else does. And that brings us to, and you can stop me if I'm going on too long, brings us to this notion of the British bad ear that they mentioned. Well, there is no British bad ear, only bad thinking by Professor Fuerst, because in reality, every people has a bad ear with respect to certain languages. Certain Asians, for instance, Chuck, have trouble pronouncing R sounds in the middle or ends of words. And I know we're coming up on a break, so I'm going to stop pronouncing.
Yeah, I got about 1 minute.
Okay, so let me just see if I can wrap this up. And if we condemn these people for that, what would we be called? We'd be called intolerant, right? Well, that's exactly what these anti-Western civilization destroyers are guilty of, Chuck. Okay? Because this is normal, what's happening here. When we adopt things from other cultures, when I say we, I mean all people, we assign terms to them that accord with our language norms and which we can readily pronounce. Okay, let me just leave it right there because I know time is short. I'll pick it up after the break if that's okay.
Yeah, we'll finish with that. And I'm still stuck on this French fries called apples fried. See, I would sue the person. You know, if you cut up little apples and called them French fries, got to be something about that. And the way you pronounce names, okay, well, we'll be back with more from Selwyn Duke. Did I get the Selwyn? Yeah, that's part of the rest of the story there, listener. Selwyn Duke, the new American. And this one entitled Food Fight. Can you guess what the left is now calling racist? Could it be white lines in the middle of the road? Think about it. Yes, we'll be back.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. Did you know withdrawing your cash from the bank can be very risky? That's right. So please listen up. Are you aware that banks are now required to spy on us for the government and then report any behavior they think is suspicious? It's true. I was shocked as I read Swiss America's blockbuster report, The Secret War on Cash. This new war against cash is really a war against all freedom-loving Americans. Listen to me. You must read The Secret War on Cash. Now get your free copy by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. Or visit SwissAmerica.com. This war on cash is growing daily and also includes all forms of digital money. So please, get ahead, read The Secret War on Cash free to every Robert Dobby fan today by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. And then you'll thank me later.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, discussing one of his latest food fight. Can you guess what the left is now calling racist? Let's have some curry, talk about it. All right. You're going to wrap it up. Got a little short thing here that's kind of interesting. Might be part of the best of the story. There you go.
Yeah. Another one of my personal experiences. Well, what I mentioned is that these culture destroyers, these cultural revolutionaries, Chuck, are condemning white people, Westerners, for doing what everyone else does, for just behaving like a normal human being. I mentioned that when we adopt, we human beings, things from other cultures, we assign terms to them that accord with our language norms and which we can readily pronounce. And here's an example. When I went to Taiwan decades ago, they purposely sinicized my name, and here's how they said it. They said, Xiao Win. My friend who took me there said, they're going to call you Xiao Win. And they hadn't even adopted me, by the way. We adopt all these terms. They hadn't adopted me. But, you know, I didn't complain. I didn't accuse them of having a bad ear. I understood that I was in someone else's culture. And that's how it works. Again, that's called being a normal human being. And I'm pointing this out because we should never, Chuck, allow ourselves to be cowed by these cultural revolutionaries. You know, conservatives too often allow themselves to be put on their heels. The reality is that not only are these people all wrong, not only are these people often completely inane and stupid in their criticisms, like saying we shouldn't use the word curry most of the time, but they're actually offensive. They're actually doing something that is highly immoral. Again, they're telling us, we Westerners, that we have no right to our culture whatsoever. They don't say that to anyone else, but they hold us to that standard. It's disgusting, and we should tell them, listen, not only are you wrong, but you should be ashamed of yourselves. You should be ashamed of yourselves. And if you don't appreciate this Western culture, the greatest culture to ever grace this planet, and that's absolutely true, you should get the heck out. You really should. You should go to some place that you fancy to be better. But they're not going to do that, Chuck, because actually they love it here. They love their lifestyle. They love the money they make. Complete phonies and hypocrites right down the line. Hello? 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 I don't know. I'm not hearing anything here. Hello? Hello? Can anyone hear me? Hello?
smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Tired of lockdown? Let the reconnect begin. You belong here. Welcome home to the magic of Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante in Fullerton, California. Check out our new spacious outdoor dining al fresco. Romantic. Market lights. It looks like a movie set. Dine under the stars and enjoy our tasty Angelo's and Vinci's pizza, pasta, seafood, chicken, salad dinners, and more. In the cool of the evening, come enjoy our award-winning menu, new wine list, specialty cocktails like our Peach Bellini Martini, appetizers, and more. Angelo's and Vinci's now open every day from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. for relaxing outdoor dining. No reservations needed. Just come on in for delicious Italian food. Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton. Call 714-879-4022. We're going to need a lot of pasta to get through this year. Come to Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton today.
Imagine this is your money and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. They want your money, and guess what? They can legally take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash and we're going to take it from you. So what do? Fight back by letting our team of experts at the Tax Helpline work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws and will fight to save your money. So, if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket.
800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. That's 800-932-1597.
When you invest, what do you need? Investors need foresight and prediction so they can invest with confidence. Is the stock market going up and down? What about precious metals or Bitcoin? The stock market may be treading water right now, but now may be a more opportune time to invest in precious metals. Are gold and silver booming? What do you buy? Bullion? Mining stocks? Which ones? The cryptocurrency market is also advancing strongly, but which ones do you buy? John Truman Wolf, former banker and number one best-selling author, gives you the answers in his widely read newsletter, Strategic Financial Intelligence, available at strategicfinancialintelligence.com. Wolf called the breakout of the gold market and the breakout of the silver market. He may not have a crystal ball, but his investment picks tell a story. Metals and digital currencies are on the move. Don't miss out. Go to strategicfinancialintelligence.com and get the Strategic Financial Intelligence newsletter today. Strategicfinancialintelligence.com.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder here with my guest Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. Hey, Selwyn, what did you do,
Oh, I'm telling you, Chuck, don't think it was an attempted palace coup, because I know that people could hear me, but we couldn't hear you, so you might think that I was trying to take over the show, but no, that was not the case.
It was one of two different things, all right? It was when I said the white lines in the road, okay? Yeah, that was the possibility. And then it could also be, because actually it was a power shortage here, okay, you know, trying to save the forest or whatever, And I think maybe Newsom found out I was going to be voting for Larry Elder, so that's probably the bottom line. I don't know.
As long as some government agents, Chuck, didn't drag you out of your place there, you know. You never know.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you, did you have a chance to get about your the thing in Taiwan about talking about the proper pronunciation? Did you tell the listeners that while we were
absolutely,
I was fixing my ice cream?
Absolutely. And more, and more. I actually got on my soapbox there, and I started railing against the left and how we shouldn't be cowed by them.
But the show's still on. Wow, okay.
That
was pretty good, though. Showin.
Showin,
it still doesn't sound like, Selwin. I would just put S-A-I-L, but that's me.
Yeah.
You know.
That was Showin. Showin, actually.
Showin. Yeah. Oh. Showin Duke. Radio for the... The Raider for the, there you go. Yes. Which one you want to talk about now? There's the Tucker on Irish study that was doing. Masking kids is not good medicine. It's child abuse. You also have a black mother discovering that the black school principal segregation policy. That one's interesting. Which one would you like to dive into, sir, because it's your show?
Oh, yeah. Is that the case now?
I'm waiting for there goes another kilowatt. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, why don't we talk about the masks? Why don't we talk about the masks? I think that's a good thing to get to, don't you?
I do, yes, absolutely. And I'm about 110% against them. But, gee, I guess if you have breathing problems sometimes, you are against them. You know what I mean? But it's interesting because I've gone to a few places and they said, we're leaving it up to you. You know, if you've had your two shots, you can wear it or you don't wear it. And it's funny the different places you go, you know. They just say, we think you're adult enough to decide. But then again, you know, here we had, a thing that happened in L.A. where a guy was protesting about you shouldn't have to get the shot, you know. And then he got beat up and bloodied and everything else by the protesters that said, everybody's got to get the shot. And then, as we point out, you know, children, they're the easiest person not to catch COVID. You know what I'm saying? But I think you catch a lot more. And when Tucker and Selwyn get together, like on this story, it's got to be A+. All right.
But, Chuck, I guess they're right that not taking the shot really is bad for your health. And I say that because if you're going to get beaten up in that instance, then it's not good for your health, right?
That's a good one. Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, tell me who said this. Quote, the typical mask you buy in the drugstore is not really effective in keeping out the virus, which is small enough to pass through the material. Okay, now, who was that? Was that Rand Paul, who recently was suspended from YouTube for rendering such an opinion? Was it him? Was it someone else? Was it Selwyn Duke, Chuck Wilder, Tucker Carlson? No, that was our own Dr. Anthony Fauci, head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. He wrote that, actually, Chuck, in a February 5th email. And that's very interesting how his private pronouncements are very different from his public pronouncements, isn't it? Isn't it?
Yes.
But anyway, I point that out in the piece because it's just one of many, many indications that widespread masking is more COVID ritual, as I call it, than science. But not only that, we now also have this Irish study, which isn't exactly new, but it was brought to light recently by some journalistic entities, including Tucker Carlson. And basically, the study found out that masking children, once again, is absolutely useless. Not only that, it really is deleterious to their health. And for that reason, the Irish Health Authority has said that they're not going to require children in schools to wear masks because they're actually following the science in Ireland. Can you imagine that? A country in Western Europe. But, you know, the truth is that this is not the first masking red flag we've gotten, Chuck, because we've heard about studies in the past indicating that masks become like pathogen-laden petri dishes on your face, which is true. They get dirty. The germs, bacteria, viruses build up. They can restrict oxygen intake, so you get to a point where very high levels of carbon dioxide, dangerous levels, even develop in your bloodstream. And we also have heard, don't know if this is true, but one study indicated this, that if you're wearing one of those blue medical masks, you could be inhaling unhealthful plastic microparticles. But anyway, despite all this...
Let me ask you real quick. In your opinion, you know, you get the cloth mask, and then you get the blue one. And doesn't the blue one seem thinner, or do you think the cloth feels thinner, or both? Are they both equal? Just your opinion on that.
Well, I mean, I think the cloth masks vary. I think they vary. I think some are thicker than others, but certainly that blue mask is very thin and flimsy. It's really made just for one use, technically. It's supposed to be disposable, but people do tend to use them over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah. Rob the bank, use a blue one. Chances are they'll say, look, just like that other guy. Yeah. I want one other thing here because of my little brain clicking around here. You know, Dr. Fauci, right? I think because I always remember that there was like three words that he never says, and I don't know. And I was wondering, could you call him Dr. No? Remember James Bond, Dr. No?
Yes,
and his first name would be I, and the second name would be Don't. I don't know. Yes,
yeah.
Because this guy, my goodness.
Well, even when he does know, he doesn't tell. That's the problem. He's dishonest. If you want a nickname for him, remember I said that his name in Italian, Fauci, believe it or not, actually means mouth. I looked it up. And mouth is a really good nickname for him because the man just loves talking and talking and talking in front of the media. Boy, does he love being in front of the camera. I mean, he'll accept any interview. It can be with a rap star. He's right there in front of the camera talking about masking and this variant and all the other stuff. And you got to wear two masks and then three masks and don't shake hands, but you can hook up on some dating app. And if you want to do that, it all depends on how much risk you want to take. It's up to the individual, but don't shake hands. And we have to have 6 feet of social distance, but maybe now it's not 6 feet. I mean, the man is just all over the place.
You got to get out here and start doing cartoons, son. You got that one down. I'd love that.
I was starting to get a tickle in my throat doing that, to be honest with you. I was about to cough with my Fauci mouth imitation.
But anyway. You know, Dr. Mouth, the way you remember his name is that, you see him so many times where you can see his mouth because he's not wearing the mask. You know, there are a lot of times he's not wearing that mask. So go ahead.
Well, along with a lot of other public figures and politicians. I mean, I'm not going to waste too much time talking about that, but we've seen it over and over and over again. They're trying to foist these oppressive COVID regulations on the rest of us, and then they flout them themselves. But anyway,
look at the Obama birthday party, Selwyn.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, perfect
example.
Yeah, go ahead.
So anyway, in my article, I quoted this Wall Street Journal piece. It was written by Johns Hopkins School of Medicine professor Dr. Marty McCarry and Dr. H. Cody Meissner, and he's chief of pediatric infectious diseases at Tufts Children's Hospital. So in other words, both these men are actually more qualified than Fauci, who has not worked with a patient, if he ever worked with one at all, for many, many decades. The man's been in government since 1968, by the way, and that is the truth. But anyway, these two men wrote this article, very interesting, and they're going to mention the Irish study here, but here's what I cited. They wrote, quote, "Some children are fine wearing a mask, but others struggle. Those who have myopia can have difficulty seeing because the mask fogs their glasses. This has long been a problem for medical students in the operating room," they add. "Masks can cause severe acne and other skin problems. The discomfort of a mask distracts some children from learning. By increasing airway resistance during exhalation, masks can lead to increased levels of carbon dioxide in the blood." I mentioned that. "And masks can be vectors for pathogens if they become moist or are used for too long." Now, here's the Irish study. In March, Ireland's Department of Health, I'm quoting them again, announced that it won't require masks in schools because they, quote, "may exacerbate anxiety or breathing difficulties for some students. Some children compensate for such difficulties by breathing through their mouths. Chronic and prolonged mouth breathing can alter facial development. It is well documented that children who mouth breathe because adenoids block their nasal airways can develop a mouth deformity and elongated face," unquote. So there you have it. Yet another indication that masking is highly, highly counterproductive. But, you know, Chuck, it's not just the physical effects. It's also the psychological effects, which I think you and I have discussed in the past. And these two physicians, Makari and Meissner, also address them. They wrote, quote, "The possible psychological harm of widespread masking is an even greater worry. Facial expressions are integral to human connection, particularly for young children, who are only learning how to signal fear, confusion, and happiness." And believe me, Chuck, with what's going on with these stupid adults foisting these COVID regulations on them, I think nowadays they're signaling a lot more fear and confusion. But anyway, getting back to
and
this
maybe
quote,
even with CRT. You know, with kids saying, what in the world's going on? CRT, they don't even know how to spell cart. Go ahead.
I know. I'll tell you nowadays, really, I'm almost embarrassed to be an adult. When I see what adults are foisting on children, you almost want to apologize to the kids and just say, I'm sorry that we're doing this to the world you're being raised in. But anyway, these doctors wrote, quote, "Covering a child's face mutes these nonverbal forms of communication and can result in robotic and emotionless interactions," no kidding, "anxiety and depression. Seeing people speak is a building block of phonetic development. It is especially important for children with disabilities such as hearing impairment," unquote. And the physicians asked Chuck that the negative effects of a few weeks of masking are probably minor, but they, quote, "can't say that with any confidence when the practice stretches on for months or years." But here's the thing. Here's the question. Why would we even take that chance when there's no upside to justify the risk? You know, it's really something. Remember, kids rarely get severely ill from coronavirus. That has been shown over and over and over again. They also don't seem to transmit it very readily because I understand that their viral loads are too low. And get this, Makari and Meissner also cited this North Carolina study, Chuck, of 90,000 students that found not one solitary case of child-to-teacher transmission. Now, remember that the next time you hear these teachers' unions, everybody, kvetching about how, oh, no, we can't do in-school learning, it's got to be remote, or if there is in-school learning, well, there have to be masks and everyone has to be vaccinated. Remember that. Not one solitary case of child-to-teacher transmission after having examined 90,000 students. So, you know, there's no reason to think that kids need to wear masks. Masks really are not that effective. And here's something else I cited with respect to that last point. Citing the Patriot Post's Mark Alexander, quote, "The evidence establishing the efficacy of masking is at best mixed." He wrote, quote, "Recently, our Emmy Griffin wrote on the subject of masking efficacy, questioning amid all the rush to remask whether the masks 99.9% of Americans are using actually work. Fact is, based on a review of 14 key randomized controlled tests on masking, the evidence indicates that three of the studies suggest but do not provide any statistically significant evidence in intention to treat analysis that masks might be useful. However, the researchers conclude the other 11 suggest that masks are either useless, whether compared with no masks or because they appear not to add to good hand hygiene alone, or are actually counterproductive. And I'll make one point here, Chuck, to close the loop. This is a point that I often make. You have to remember, because some people now might come back with, well, wait a second, though. Medical personnel in hospitals wear masks. Are they all delusional, these experts? Do they not know what they're doing? Here's the point. There's a very, very big difference between asking, well, how effective is the masking prescription if a hypothetical person responsible wears a hypothetical mask, an N95, maintained and worn in a hypothetical way, disinfected and properly fitted, and asking, how will the general population apply the recommendation? They're two very different things. If this is prescribed at the level of population, Chuck, what happens is people typically wear the wrong masks, the wrong way, with the wrong hygiene. That's the bottom line. Let your kids breathe. okay? The mask is a security blanket for you, not your child, if you're putting it on him. It's an emotional thing.
You know, and if you look at, you know, how they have the schools designed with all of these plastic walls that go up between each desk, you know, it's sort of like the restaurants do also. And it's like, my goodness, have you ever seen such a scare tactic?
It's unbelievable.
Wow. Yeah, and unfortunately, we got to put up with it because, you know, even nice people are falling for most of this stuff they're putting out. You know what I mean? And causes havoc.
Oh, I've got a story
about friends,
that,
enemies. Yeah. I'm sorry?
We don't have time for it right now, but maybe after the break, I've got a story about that, something I just experienced.
About nice people. Okay. You met somebody nice?
Yeah.
All right. About time.
I did. New York, believe it or not.
Selwyn Duke. S-E-L-W-Y-N Duke. That's the website, too. SelwynDuke.com. And he writes for the New American. And we're going to be back to wrap things up in just a few moments.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
If you drive a car, truck, SUV, or vehicle of any kind, you need GetUpside, the free gas app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy. That's right. With the free GetUpside gas app, you can get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back every time you buy gas. Nearly 3 million people have earned cash back with GetUpside just for buying gas.
I always use GetUpside. Some months, I make $200 to $300.
I love getting money back for things I use every day. It's just free money for buying gas.
There's no catch. It's simple. And you get your cash back right away.
Download the free GetUpside app now in the App Store or Google Play to save up to 25 cents per gallon when you buy gas. Use promo code BEACH for a 25 cent per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's up to 50 cents a gallon on your next fill up. You can cash out anytime to PayPal or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Earn cash back on gas on every fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code BEACH for a 25 cent per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code BEACH.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef, broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at RuthsChris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN, with Selwyn Duke, writer for the New American. And so you met a nice person, okay, male or female?
Well, this was Mel, Chuck, and don't worry. Okay. I know what you might be thinking. Oh, is Duke going to digress again with some story no. that doesn't relate at all? No, actually, this is quite relevant. So on Friday, something was delivered to my house, and I had to meet the guy outside, and we got to talking a little bit. Anyway, he was wearing a mask. So I said to him, you know, my man, you don't have to wear that mask around me. It's a nice day. The sun's out. I'm not worried about it. And he said, blah, blah, blah. Well, he was just being careful. Now, understand, this was a man who was well-spoken, intelligent, 45 years old. He was healthy. He also pointed out that was his second job. He makes $90,000 a year, so he must have had some education. So anyway, we got to talking about masks, Chuck, and I hit him with all the data like I do on your show. You know, I gave him a real rundown, and he couldn't dispute any of it. But you know what he basically closed with, and he said this actually a couple of times. He said, and this is close to verbatim, he said, I know, referencing the mask, he pointed to the mask, this is all BS, except he used the word. But mm-hmm. I'm scared, the media has gotten us to do it, and I want to do my part and be a good citizen. That's what he said. Now, hopefully I planted a seed that's going to germinate, and maybe he'll start thinking better of it in the future. But doesn't that say it all? What was he saying, in essence? Let's translate that. Yeah. He was saying, in essence, I can't refute anything that you confronted me with, but this feels good to me emotionally, so I'm going with it. And that's why Jonathan Swift said, to paraphrase him, you cannot reason a man out of a position he has not reasoned himself into. Isn't that ever true?
Yeah. But, you know, you have one article about a guy that you said you were having a conversation with him at a recreational site. And
He
had coronary 2 months after taking the SARS-CoV-2 vaccine. And he was noticing things going on. And did he have a heart attack? I think, yeah. Right.
He had a heart attack, yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing. I know time is short. I'll make it fast. But you and I have been reporting on these side effects associated with the vaccines. But that's reporting. It's not actually meeting people who've had these experiences. But now I've met three different people who've had heart problems subsequent to taking the vaccines. And understand, I don't get out that much. I work out of my apartment. I'm an alien, as I like to put it. I try to limit the interaction with the humans. But a friend of mine developed heart inflammation after taking the vaccine. I met a guy about a month later at that recreational facility, the man you just referenced, who had a heart attack after taking the vaccine. And he thinks that it might have been caused by the shot. Then I met yet another man who had a heart attack the month after taking the vaccine. So I don't know, but these anecdotal experiences are starting to add up. And when do you finally say, hey, maybe not all of this is coincidence?
Yeah. And me, you know, I still think that those on the left and those mask believers, you know, they're when they're driving, you know, out amongst the city or whatever, and they see all the people wearing the mask, it's like, see, we got them. We captured them, you know. Yes, sir.
Control freak.
Who knows? We may be proven right. Who knows? Okay, Selwyn Duke. appreciate it each and every time, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chuck. God bless.
All right. And thank you for listening. Thank you, Nick. And thank you for everything. Oh, I got to do this one, yes. Please remember, absolutely no animals were injured during the production of this program. Nothing can stop you but to and you are my girl, and no one can hurt you. Oh, no. Yes, I. Oh, come on.